Some Kind of Strength, a Merlin fanfic by Lola Feist, read by Sophie Nisba. The pairing is Arthur Merlin, but this is a fic about tentacle rape. Listener is strongly cautioned. Summary. When Merlin is poisoned in the Perilous Lands, Arthur strikes a dark bargain to save his life. "I will fight the beast, if that's what it takes," Arthur says, stubborn and breathless. His eyes glitter, as they always do before a fight, but Merlin knows this won't be a fight at all. Arthur repeats the binding spell and pledges himself to the beast in exchange for Merlin's life. Merlin shakes his head, trying to find the words to tell Arthur what he's done, but before he can say anything, it begins. It wasn't the first time things went wrong on a diplomatic mission to the lawless, magic-ridden Perilous Lands. Over the past 2 years, they'd had their horses magicked into lizards, they'd briefly been transformed into squirrels, and, in the worst case, suffered matching fevers that nearly took Arthur's life before Merlin could drag him out of the reach of a bog witch's spell. At first, the tiny thorn prick had seemed like nothing more than an annoyance. Merlin removed the thorn, doused his arm with fresh water, and rode on without mentioning it to Arthur. It slipped his mind entirely, until he slid out of the saddle and landed in the mud, his vision swimming. "Merlin," Arthur said irritably. "Prick," Merlin answered, drawing a sharp glare until Arthur saw the swelling, angry wound at his elbow. "I can't feel my arm." "Poison?" Arthur asked, already dismounted and crouching to feel Merlin's face. Merlin nodded, blinking. "Ow! Fever again. I hate the Perilous Lands." Merlin tried to nod again, but passed out instead. Arthur has never understood the fine balance of magic. He rushes headlong into battles and believes that spells are like arm wrestling, just a show of force. When the beast surges out of the mud around them, gleaming with its own crystalline fluids, clean and shiny and enormous, Merlin pushes up to sit unsteadily and calls out, "Don't fight it! Arthur, don't fight!" "What?" "You offered yourself." "Fool," he exhales, too dizzy to tiptoe around Arthur's pride. It's too late for pride anyway. "The dwarf in the tree explained everything. I traded myself for the antidote. I'll fight the beast and win, and it will heal you." "Listen to yourself. Does that make sense?" Arthur pauses, sword held in front of him. Dozens of glistening appendages surround him, shimmying as if with silent laughter. "No," he says wearily. Merlin reaches out, beckoning with one hand. "Come here." "Now?" Arthur hesitates, squaring off against the beast. The beast's bulbous, eyeless head nods, and a few of the slippery purple limbs gesture toward Merlin. So Arthur goes, boots squelching in the mud. "What am I supposed to do?" Arthur asks, expression earnest and trusting. Merlin has to look down. "Undress," he says. He doesn't want to see Arthur's face when Arthur finally understands. "What?"
"Disrobe. Take your clothes off."
Merlin draws in a few gasping breaths to chase away a wave of dizziness.
"You have to hurry before it grows impatient and changes its mind."
"What if I change my mind?"
"And we both die," Merlin says simply.
Arthur begins to undress silently, letting Merlin help or attempt to. Merlin's right arm hangs limp at his side, and the fingers of his left tremble violently with fever and poison.
"It won't kill you," Merlin says, watching the creature undulate like seaweed, something eager and excited in the swaying motions.
"Remember that, Arthur. It doesn't want to kill you. Try to stay close to me." "Merlin!" Arthur catches him as he tumbles to the side and eases his cheek down against a patch of dry, dead grass. Merlin scrubs his fingers at his eyes, trying to clear his vision.
"Don't fight it," he mumbles.
When Arthur opens his mouth to say something, a blunt appendage thrusts between his lips, gagging him. His eyes widen, and he tries to buck away, but the beast is ready now. It pulls him away from Merlin with a rope-like grip around his throat. "Arthur!"
The beast adapts quickly, shifting in size, narrowing its heavy limbs to wrap them like creeping vines around Arthur's arms, around his waist, around his flexing thighs, levering them apart. One of the appendages slinks up Merlin's leg, and he bats it away weakly. "I'll take no part in this," he says. But he doesn't look away. Even as his lover, Merlin has never seen Arthur so bare, so exposed. It seems like the beast wants to take its time, as if this is a perverse act of affection and not a gleeful way for another inhabitant of the Perilous Lands to try to humiliate the King of Camelot. Merlin wants to shout at it, to tell it to stop toying with Arthur. But he doesn't want to spur the beast toward mindless brutality. He doesn't know which is worse. The beast bends Arthur over a slimy fold of its body, like a mother taking a child over her knee. A broad, flat tongue forms at the tip of one of the limbs and begins roughly lapping at Arthur's cleft, spreading his muscular arse open. Arthur moans in protest, his mouth stuffed full, his lips stretched around a limb that resembles a cock. It fucks his mouth slowly and too deeply, making him drool and gag. "Don't fight," Merlin says. "It doesn't want to hurt you." He isn't certain of that anymore. The beast won't kill Arthur, that wasn't the deal, but it clearly wants to abuse him. As if in response to Merlin's assurances, the beast jiggles with mirth and promptly penetrates Arthur's hole with a snake-like, probing limb. It twists, screwing into him and slithering back out. Arthur closes his eyes and grunts deeply. His fingers curl into tight fists where his wrists are bound together in the grip of a thin appendage. He's resisting it. Merlin can see that in every coiling, shuddering muscle of Arthur's body. "Don't fight," Merlin whispers, willing Arthur to relax, even as his stomach churns at the thought of Arthur simply taking this outrage. The tentacle probing Arthur expands, thrusting in and out with slimy, wet sounds. Arthur goes rigid and groans, then begins to thrash helplessly as it expands further. Bigger than a cock now, bumpy and obscene. "That's enough," Merlin cries out hoarsely. "It's unbearable." He tries to lift his hand, to cast a desperate spell. The poison's grip has spread too far. He's numb all over, even his face beginning to tingle strangely. "Arthur," he breathes. The beast slithers its tentacle from Arthur's mouth, leaving him free to speak. But this is Arthur, and he says nothing. He grits his teeth and tries to stay silent, choking as the tentacle fucking him punches low, pained noises from him. It goes on and on. The beast is not a man, and the thick length in Arthur isn't a cock. There's no release to be had, no end in sight. Minutes stretch on until Arthur's head hangs limply, his lashes wet with tears, his skin covered in a sheen of sweat. The beast draws Arthur close, angles him so Merlin can see the shiny ring of skin stretched thin and tight around the invasion. For all its persistence, the beast hasn't torn Arthur's flesh. Arthur's balls and flaccid cock sway, jostled by the thrusting. "I'm sorry," Merlin mouths, unable to keep his eyes open. The numbness has spread, and he can't feel his own breath, can't feel his limbs at all. He only feels a cold, heavy pain in his gut as he listens to the sound of the beast penetrating Arthur's body relentlessly. "Merlin!" His eyelids twitch, weighed down by the poison. "I've held my end of the bargain," Arthur cries out raggedly. Merlin hears him growl and strain. "He's dying! Help him!" Arthur's voice is torn, broken with hoarse sobs. "You have to help him! Merlin, open your eyes! Open your eyes!" A sticky, sweet mass slides between Merlin's parted lips and onto his tongue. He tries to spit it out, gagging at the repulsive texture, but even his tongue is weak, and the thin tentacle persists, oozing something against his throat that he swallows reflexively. Within moments, his body seems to know by instinct that the liquid is an antidote to the thorn's poison. This is what Arthur has paid for. Merlin can't risk his pride. He suckles and swallows more of the slime down, and the numbness slowly subsides. "Let him go, please," Merlin says, weighed down by heavy, fleshy tentacles that have wrapped around his waist and arms. They don't molest him, but simply keep him anchored against the cool ground. They look the way he would expect a snake to feel, cold and smooth, but the texture is fleshy and hot and firm against his wrists. Arthur sways nearby, barely conscious, hanging in the beast's appendages as if suspended by dozens of ropes. When Merlin meets his eye, his gaze shifts away. The thick tentacle draws out of him with a hollow, sucking sound. Merlin barely has time to move as the beast drops Arthur's naked, slimy body into his lap. Merlin grasps him, cradling his head, and watches as the beast shudders back into the ground, parting the thick mud and sinking until nothing is left but the expanse of leafless trees and patches of boggy ruin. "Arthur," he says, stroking his hair back. Though Arthur doesn't make a sound, Merlin can feel the rage and shame curdling in him, like the threat of a scream, or the shuddering silence between sobs. "It's gone, Arthur. It's over now." "Are you healed?" Arthur asks, after a long time has passed. He clings to Merlin in an awkward sprawl, seeming more interested in hiding his body than seeking comfort in Merlin's arms. "I'm fine," Merlin says, blinking back tears. Arthur is pliant when Merlin sits him up and begins to wipe the thick, pungent slime from his body. He uses his thin jacket and small scarf, and after a while, most of the slime is gone. Merlin eases Arthur's gambeson and hauberk over his head, hoping the weight gives him some kind of strength or security. "We'll find somewhere to bathe." Arthur nods faintly, or shudders. When Merlin cups Arthur's face carefully, Arthur lets out a soft, tired sigh and leans into him. His arms tremble, but they're still strong, and they hang on tight as Merlin rocks him gently and hums against his damp hair. The end.